Again, today begins our Advent for Christmas. And, you know, it's one of those times that I get excited about what the Lord is calling me to do. Because every year it becomes challenging because I'm looking at the same faces. Those of you who have been here for a while have been seeing me now do this for 15 years. Wow. And so you're trying to figure out, he's going to preach the same thing. And you're right. You're right. Because you can't change the story. Amen.
Amen.
And so it's challenging. That's why I get excited. I'm trying to figure out, Lord, okay, now, how are we going to make this different when it's the same? You ever thought about that? It's got to be the same. But how do you make it different? How do you get people to dig down a little bit deeper into this beautiful story that we get a chance to partake of every year? Amen. I know where I'm going next year in December. The Lord tarries, allow me here. Next December, I know exactly where I'm going to be preaching from. Amen. It ain't going to change. But my prayer is, and I know for some of you it's not that hard, that y'all can't remember what I preached yesterday. So what I preached last December is not really on your mind. So, but still, there's a story here. And I know for some it's new because we have new believers that come in and they hear the Christmas story. But for some of you, you've been hearing this for now 25, 30 years. Amen. The Lord brought me in out of darkness into the marvelous light in 1991. And I've been hearing this same Christmas story, but it has more meaning to me. The song that we just sang used to be one of my favorite songs, and I wouldn't even sing. And during Christmas time, I used to hear about Silent Night, but I never knew what it meant. And then once I became saved, I said, oh, you know, I know exactly what that story means. I actually know what the gospel story is all about. And it's about the birth of Christ coming on a rescue mission to save his creation. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it's all about. And so people always try to figure out, you know, well, how do you celebrate this every year? I'll never forget, when I first met Elder Bradshaw, and me and him and Dr. Zulu, we used to get together over his house and just devour the word of God. And then I remember the first year I got to go over there, and it was almost Christmas time. He said, I got to go out and get me a cake. I said, a cake for Christmas? He said, yeah. He says, at my house and family, he says, we celebrate the birth of Christ. And so we put out a birthday cake for him on Christmas. And I said, man, that is so cool. Isn't that cool? I had never thought about getting a birthday cake for Christ, you know, and I still haven't done it, but I just thought that people celebrate the birth of Christ differently. Every year Christmas, my family and I would get downstairs, and they couldn't touch anything until we read the book of Luke. Amen. They knew it, you know, so they'd go ahead and wash up, and John tell them, Quinn, come on, Quinn, hurry up, so Dad can get this thing over, so we can get our toys. I mean, they weren't really interested in the story of Luke, amen, but they're going to get it anyway. But they knew that's what we did. They came down, we opened the Bible, we read, we prayed, and then they forgot everything I said and got to their toys and had a good time. Amen. That's what kids do. And so we everybody celebrates differently, and then as you get into dealing with a whole lot of what I call religious people, they try to steal your joy at times because they come over your house and say, you still putting up Christmas trees? Don't you know that's a pagan thing that the pagans used to do? I mean, I'm not hearing that. The pagans do all that. They used to cut down trees and they go out there and use them as idols and they worship them and all that. There you go. But they ain't stopped me from getting no tree. I got a tree in my mouth. I got two trees this year. Amen.
Amen.
We got two trees of power.
Amen.
You know, because it's not what you do, it's why you do it. Amen. It's why you do it. Just because somebody else is doing it for one reason doesn't mean you're doing it for the same reason. I know folks who gather in places like this and they worship Satan. Amen. But well, it's not going to stop you from coming to a house like this to worship God. You know? And so instead of just taking the time to celebrate, I want us to contemplate. Amen. I want us to contemplate this reason for the season. I want you to start thinking about, you know, why we talk about Christmas every year. I didn't even know why until, yeah, I know now, but when I used to go downtown in D.C., when we used to live in D.C. a long time ago, and you go down by the store, and they didn't have Christmas, they had Xmas. I thought it was a Muslim thing. Being real, because Muslims take their name and get rid of the names and put an X there. I said, oh, so Muslims are going to celebrate Christmas now. But that wasn't it. It was just trying to say, they said, you know what, you don't need the Christ. Let's just celebrate the holiday. And everybody kept saying, well, now it's getting too commercial, and so I don't want to do it. People are spending all this money they don't have to give gifts to people they don't even like. I mean, you know, it was like all these things kept coming up. And I started saying, you know what? Y'all got to realize why you do what you do. Amen. And you should keep doing what you're doing as long as you know why you do it. Amen. Don't let everybody else infiltrate your traditions and try to confuse you about why you shouldn't do what you want to do. Amen. I still like buying gifts for people. Well, we don't really do gifts anymore in our family. We do something different, but it's still like a celebration, you know. But if you like buying gifts, don't let people think that, so, well, you shouldn't have to buy gifts. You shouldn't be like, no. It's a reason for the season, amen?
Amen.
And how you want to celebrate it, it's all right as long as it sits well in your heart and in your mind, and you know who Christ is, amen?
Amen.
God honors that. God wants you to have so much fun on this earth, amen?
Amen.
That you should just lose your mind. But if you keep listening to folk instead of listening to the word of God, you won't. Because they'll have you tiptoeing around all this joy that you should be having in the Lord, amen, around seasons like this, amen. And so I just want to talk about something, and I want you to be able to see Christmas different. And I'm going to use that by using the words that start with the letter C. So I got to get creative, right? So I want you to see Christmas different, amen. And that's why I said, instead of celebrating, start with a C, I want you to what? Contemplate. We start with the letter K. I just want to wake you up. No, start with the letter C. Yeah. I want you to see. So I'm going to give you a lot of C's. I want you to write them down. I want you to take them home with you. Like the letter word Christmas starts with C. But the first thing I want you to understand is there was a real reason for the season. And that's why I read Genesis for you in the beginning. And it talks about how God created the heavens and the earth. I didn't even know this fell down. Okay, let's put that back on. All right, now you can hear me. The reason why I read in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth is because you got to understand the beginning to understand why we need Christmas. Amen. If you don't understand Genesis, you don't know why we need Christmas. You can't just go to Luke. Amen. It tells the Christmas story, but why did we have to have a Christmas story? It was because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. And he did it for a reason. You know why he did it? For us. Yeah, if you go through, and I'm not going to read the whole creation story for you, but when you go through the whole creation story, God systematically, amen, created everything he did for a particular reason, and we are the reason. Amen. Now, I know when you get back, you say, well, Pastor, the Bible tells me that he created it for himself. Yes, that's true. But he didn't need the earth. He didn't need the heaven. He didn't need anything. He was already God. Amen. And so, yes, he did create it for himself, all that he created. Yeah, he created for him. But he created it for us to be able to enjoy it. Why? Because he wanted to enjoy us, and he wanted us to enjoy him. And guess what he did? He gave us the perfect place to do it. Isn't that amazing? I was reading this over the weekend, because I hadn't read it in a while, and I said, man, that is so cool that God actually created a perfect place. And you say, well, how do you know it's perfect? Well, I read that to you at the end. He said that in verse 31 of chapter 1, he said that, and then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning was the sixth day. And it was so good that on the seventh day, he didn't create anything else. Amen? He said he took a rest from all of his creating. You know why? There was nothing left to create. He'd already done it, and he done it just for us. And that's why we were the last thing that he created. Y'all understand that? Y'all got that, right? When you read it, we were the last one, right? And why do you think he did that? To bring him glory. And somebody told me the reason why he did it so you wouldn't say you had help with the other part. But it was just because what he did was he made sure that everything else was just right. Got it? And then he created man. And then if that wasn't good enough, he created woman. Amen? Amen? And all of a sudden, all they had to do was enjoy the beautiful life that God had gave us. Isn't that a beautiful story? It's almost something out of Disney, isn't it? And they lived happily, what? I mean, how could you not live happy if you got everything you need? It was very, very good. How could you not live happily ever after? Because he created us. Yeah, that's the moral of the story, is that if he wanted everything to be the way it should have been, he should have stopped before he created us. Amen? Because everything else did exactly what God told it to do, except for us. But he knew that. And here's the part that I had to dig down deep in, is that God created us not for us to mess up. He created us to trust him and to love him. But he loved us so much that he gave us a choice to choose him. Isn't that amazing? He could have actually created us to a point where you didn't have a choice. You had to accept it. He said, no, I'm going to love them so much, I'm going to give them a choice. And here is what I believe. I can't prove it, but I believe what would have happened through the Bible. Had Adam and Eve never sinned, we would be there right now. Because I believe that that's the way God wanted it to be. In the garden with him forever. Always having a relationship with him. It was so good that they were actually walking around with God every day. Just hanging out with God. Got everything you need, and you got God. Why would you mess that up? Just ask yourself a question. Say, well, I do it every day. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So you like to talk about Adam and Eve. Let's talk about me and you. Come on, man. Every day. So the first C I want you to have is, believe it or not, it's called creation. The reason that we have to have Christmas is because of creation. And what creation showed us was the sovereignty of God. Amen? Because what he created ex nihilo, out of nothing. In other words, the Bible tells us that what he spoke and everything that he said just, it appeared. He's sovereign. And what I want you to understand is that when that happened, life was good. LG, right? Life with God. It was. Life was good. Can you imagine? No, you can't, because you never had it before. So you can't even imagine. You can't even imagine how good it would be to have no worries, to have no cares, and just be able to hang around with God all day long. You can't even imagine that it's been so bad for you. Come on now. You can't even fathom what Adam and Eve had, but they had it that good. So God gave us creation. And when you read that creation story, you see a beautiful picture of a loving God. Amen. I'm talking about a perfect God who loved us perfectly and gave us everything we needed, especially himself. But the other scene is the reason why we need Christmas is because of creation and because of a decision we made, there was a crisis. Amen. There's a crisis. And that's the part I want to spend some time on is in Genesis 3. Genesis 3. So you go from chapter 1 to 3. And the part you have to understand before I read 3 is that in this, after this creation, God gave another seed, which was a command. Amen. It wasn't a lot of rules. You know how we are as parents, we like to have our kids give a lot of rules. God didn't give them a lot of rules, did he? He just gave them one specific rule, right? Look at 2:15. It says, then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. I'm good. Right? He says, of every tree of God you may freely eat. But, chapter 17 says, but. Right? You got to always be mindful when you see that word in the Bible. You say, what is it there for? But of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Just one thing. You can do everything else you want to do. Amen? But you just can't mess with that one tree. That's simple enough, isn't it? If I put 300 toys in front of a young child and say, you can have all 300 of these toys, but this one right here, I'm going to put this to the side and I don't want you to play with that one. What do you think that child's going to do? Out of all those things, I gotta find out why. 299 you can have, just this one over here. And all of a sudden, the one that gets our attention is the one that we shouldn't mess with. And pretty much that's what happened. Crisis mode comes in because that one command, and now you go to chapter 3. And what you see is, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you even touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took up it and she ate it. And she also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves, and they heard the sound of the Lord. And that man, that's a beautiful. They heard the sound of the Lord, God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Of course, and the Lord says, Adam, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice, and so I hid. And basically says, he said, who told you that you were naked and eating of the trees that commanded? I'm paraphrasing now. Then the man said, the woman whom you gave me to be with me, the gift you gave me, she ate of the tree, and so I ate too. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent who deceived me and I ate. And the Lord went to the serpent and pretty much says, you're going to be cursed. But verse 15, what I want to get to. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his feet. And we'll walk through this very quickly, and we're going to get up out of here. The crisis is disobedience. Amen. Out of this beautiful creation comes a crisis because God gave us free will. God allowed us to make a decision. The decision they made was wrong. And so, first of all, you had life with God, and now you want to be God. Yeah. And that's the crisis. Amen. Instead of having life with God, no, you don't think that's good enough, so you want to be God. And so that crisis, so from the creation you have sovereignty, from the crisis you have sin. And sin entered into the world, and with sin came death. And that's what he says, if you eat a tree, you shall surely die. And it was interesting as I was reading this, I went through it again, over and over again, because I'm saying, Lord, there is something I just saw that I didn't see last time, is that when God came, and we know that when God asked these questions, he already knows the answers, right? Y'all know that, right? So I have to go through all this. I'm not going to give you a theological discussion here, but when God asked those questions, he already knew that. He wanted them to understand where they were. Y'all got that? I want to see you're starting to go away from where I want you to be, and you've done something that you shouldn't have done, because again, I gave you everything you actually needed, but you want something that you didn't actually need, but you actually wanted. And guess what? You wanted it so much, you were willing to what? You were willing to affect our relationship to happen. And as much as I love you, as much as I crave you, because of who I am, I have to carry out this creed, this command that I gave you, and I must, as much as it's going to hurt me. You remember that story your mom and dad tell you? This is going to hurt me as much as it's going to, this hurt God to do this. But he knew he had to do it. He had to do it. And when he did it, this is the part that gets me, is that he goes to Adam first, amen, who should have taken control of the situation. I'm not going to get to that part right now, because I might not get out of the sanctuary alive. But he should have taken control of the situation. Amen. All I'm looking for is an amen. That's what he was looking for. He's looking for amen, didn't have one. And so Eve took control of the situation, because there wasn't a man to do what he should have done. And not only did she eat of it, but she, and it wasn't like, I can't get anything out of where she forced him. She just said, hey, look, bro, come on. And he ate it. And everybody like to make these theological, well, you got to look into the theological aspect of it. He knew that she had ate it and she was going to die. And he loved her so much that he wanted, get out of here. No. I had to step back and say, Gloria, you gone. God, can you make me another? I know you can. Help me, somebody. Now, the brothers, he did it. And so God came and asked Adam, where are you? In other words, what did you do? And then he And this is the part that I got later on. I used to think that he blamed Eve, but he didn't. He blamed God. He said, yeah, it was the woman. But the part he messed up on is that you gave me. He should have stopped that it was the woman. Amen. Yeah. See that, but when he went that you gave me, he's now pointing at the one who loved him more than life itself, that created him. And so then he goes to Eve and says, what is this you have done? And she says, it was Satan, the serpent, who deceived me. But this is the part I want you to catch. He didn't go to the serpent. Remember, he went to Adam. He says, pretty much, why you do this? Went to Eve. He said, Eve, why did you mess up that way? He didn't ask the serpent anything. Because he already knew what the serpent was about. And what he was saying was, you've just shown yourself to be just like him. Isn't that amazing? God said, I created you to be with me forever in this garden. I was going to walk around. We're going to have a great time. And you decided that you wanted to be with him. Yeah, that's exactly it. You want to be with him. And so guess what? Have at it. But I love you. So there was a creation. There was the crisis. And because of the crisis, there's a consequence. Amen. God's sovereignty is in creation. The crisis is sin. The consequence is separation. Got it? Separation. So you went from life with God to wanting to be like God, now life without God. You got it? So now you have life without God. That's the consequence of that. And so he says, you got to go. And so pretty much he gives them their consequences. And of course, the serpent's going to crawl on his belly. Eve's going to have children with pain. And Adam's going to have to work outside in the field with weeds and all that other kind of stuff like that. Do you know, before I get ready to close this up, do you know how good it was to be with God before sin happened? There were no weeds in your lawn. There were probably no gnats, no mosquitoes, probably none of that nonsense was there. And the last part of it is, and this is part I want you to get this, don't ever forget this, is that prior to what they did, there was no pain. There was no pain in life prior to what they did. It was all joy. Joy with God. And so now there's pain, there's heartache, there's all of this. But even in the midst of him giving the consequences, in verse 15, he lets us know that Christmas is coming. He says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. That's the part you need to understand. The seed, the birth. All the way in Genesis, he's talking about that silent night. Amen? That seed is going to be the birth of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because out of the creation, you saw God's sovereignty. Out of the crisis, you saw sin happen. Out of the consequence, you saw separation. But out of the cure, you see Christ, our Savior. Verse 15 is the cure. The only cure, and his name is Jesus. And so we go from life with God to wanting to be God, to life without God, to life in God. Right there. life in God. That's what Christmas is all about. Yeah. It's about Christ coming to reconcile what we had done. I like to put it this way, a rescue mission for lost humanity. And he is the only cure. And God has set that in place. The Bible tells us before the foundation of the world. Isn't that amazing? But don't misunderstand what I mean when I say that before the foundation of the world. That was only if it had to be done if Adam and Eve didn't do what they were supposed to do and obey God. Christ would have never had to come had Adam and Eve just have done what they were supposed to do. And that was to trust God. And they would have still lived with God. But once they decided to go in a different direction, and that's why God says, Adam, where are you? In other words, why did you do this? Now I gotta let Christ come. Eve, what did you do? Now I gotta let Christ come. Satan, you already know you were already defeated. But now I'm going to let Christ come to be the conquering hero. The last seed. He's going to rectify all that we did wrong by conquering death on Easter. But there is no Easter without Christmas. Amen. And that's the reason for us. The reason why we celebrate, we understand all of this as you contemplate all this that took place in the beginning. This wasn't something that just happened. This happened right in the beginning. And all the way through history, there's this redeeming thread that goes through the Old Testament into the New Testament. That God might redeem his creation, that we might have a right to that tree of life that he separated them from. Amen. That's in that same chapter. When you continue to read chapter 3, he had to get them out of the garden. You know why? Because of his wonderful, marvelous grace. Because he said, if they had stayed in the garden in their sinful state, they would have got what? They would have eaten up the tree of life and perpetuated their state of sin forever. And they would have been separated from God throughout eternity. But because of his mercy and because of his marvelous grace, he literally kicked them out of the garden, put a cherubim there. They couldn't come back around. I guess that's my last seed cherubim. Another seed cherubim there. So they could not get back inside to perpetuate their state of sinfulness until the seed, the Redeemer, Christ, came through 42 generations. Brother Brash, I tell you about that's more than 42 generations, but to make it succeed, we say 42 generations. Amen. Born of a virgin, right? That seed, we'll talk about that next week, lived a sinless life. Why? Because he had to give a life for a life. People think it's not important, but it is. That life actually counted. Amen? Amen. He had to live that life that we were supposed to live. And since we couldn't do it, he did it for us. And now what he does is he gives us his life and takes ours. And then he dies. Why? To pay that debt, that command, thou shalt surely die, separation. He's pays that, and he pays it back to himself, not to the one he may crawl in his belly. He owes Satan nothing. Amen. Amen. He pays himself back. That's how good he is. Mm-hmm. And then, to make sure that y'all understand this is really real, the Bible says he got up on that third day with all power in his hand. So not only did he create, but he recreated. And he's doing it every day. How many of y'all know that Christmas is happening every day? Somebody accepts the new birth. That's Christmas. So this is about. It's about the redemption of fallen mankind that we will not be separated from God forever. And that's why we celebrate Christmas, because of who God is and what he's done and what he's going to do when he comes back for his church without a spot or a wrinkle. Amen? He's the cure. Christ is the only cure for what ails you. It's not the vaccine that you're going to be getting next year. I know y'all think that's it, but no, it's not the vaccine. It's Christ. Amen? And that's why we celebrate Christmas. Because God always wanted us to be with him. He showed it to us in Genesis. And guess what? He's going to recreate all that we lost one day. And we shall reign with him forever. Amen. 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 You will reign with the Lord forever and ever and ever. So don't ever not celebrate Christmas. Don't get caught up on all that nonsense. Well, he wasn't really born in December. We believe that because the shepherds were outside, it was a warm day, so it had to be around about April and all. Don't play those games with people. Don't, they will confuse you. Stick with the facts. God created. There was a crisis. Amen?
Amen.
And in that crisis, there was a consequence. We were separated from God. But God knew that he had the cure. His name is Jesus. You remember that. All the other stuff doesn't really matter. You got to trust God. You got to trust him with your whole heart. That little portion of the gospel story, because just in case you don't get it, that's part of the gospel story. Amen. That's where it starts, at its origin. There had to be a reason. And the reason for Christmas is Genesis 3.
That's right.
It's because of what we didn't do, God had to do. And he did it through Jesus. Father, we thank you for this wonderful season that we call Advent. As we proclaim that marvelous gospel that saved us in Christ Jesus. Father, we know that Christ has always existed. And we know that he shall always exist. And because of the grace and mercy you've shown us, we will always exist with you. Because as someone once said, you made a way out of no way. And for that, we're eternally grateful. So we thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercies that we see every day of our lives. And now, God, as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, may we always remember the reason for the season. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give God some praise, and we will do our commission. Thank you.